professionals locate appropriate senior services in Kenosha, Racine, and Walworth County, call 414-354-0200. SeniorResourcesOnline.com.
Welcome to Generation Now. I'm Troy McDonald. Thank you for spending a part of your Saturday morning here with us. Today, a subject that is personal, that is close to home. Today, we welcome from Gateway Technical College, Dr. Emma Hendrith, who is the Director of Student Support and Tutoring Services here, and Shayla Thompson, who is a Student Support Specialist. Last week, or a couple weeks ago, we had something here on the Gateway campus called Employee Learning Day, which I thought was going to be an excuse to pop in my AirPods and kind of fade away into my music. But it actually ended up being a pretty awesome, fantastic learning experience, and I'm grateful for it. But the best session was held by Dr. Emma Hendrith and Shayla Thompson on the subject of generational poverty, which is, like I said, close to home and very personal for me. And so I wanted the both of them to come in and go over what generational poverty is and how it affects really everyone in our community and, of course, students here at Gateway. So please help me welcome Dr. Emma Hendrith and Shayla Thompson.
Thank you for inviting us.
Thank you. The pleasure is ours.
Absolutely.
So, first of all, I want to kind of talk about the workshop. How did you guys come together to really start this workshop?
It's so funny. I've only been here a year. This is Emma talking. And Shayla has done extensive research in this area, and I've done some in my undergrad. So it was always an interesting subject for me. However, we did another presentation, and I don't know, what was that presentation for?
It was for faculty in-service week.
And so I guess it was very well received and there was a lot of interest. So we were asked to do the Employee Learning Day version. And I was just excited to be able to talk about things that are pertinent to what we really have to deal with in our community.
Mm-hmm. And then also going along with that, for me, I got into this work with doing the research into generational poverty and just poverty in general, and also with understanding and engaging under college resource students. I got into the work because I went to an actual training. And then when I went to the training, they actually had a segment that you can sign up to do a train-to-trainer session. And so I took advantage of that opportunity. It was a free training to get trained by Dr. Bethany Tucker, who wrote the book Understanding Engagement Under College, Under-Resourced College Students. And so she trained us, and it was just an amazing experience. After that, I went to another one called Bridges Out of Poverty, which is also through the same company, which is AHA Process, and under the works of Dr. Ruby Payne. And so that's the reason why I kind of got into this work to do something, to do a presentation on this to our faculty and staff, because we serve so many students here that we know are impoverished. And also, kind of like you, Troy, it hit home for me with when you're talking about generational poverty.
I mean, Maya Angelou has this quote that says, it's something, and I'm going to paraphrase this, that there's no greater agony than to have a story that's untold.
Absolutely.
That's within you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it felt like in this workshop. People mm-hmm. were just sharing their stories.
Mm-hmm.
White people, black people,
mm-hmm.
people from
mm-hmm.
different socioeconomic backgrounds, mm-hmm. sharing that they had at one point been through this. Mm-hmm. And hearing those
yes.
stories was empowering, because I was not alone. I was not alone. So
yes.
did you guys intend for the workshop to kind of end up into to kind of go that way?
Well, we work really well together, and we saw that kind of energy and synergy in the previous presentation. So I was not surprised at how it went, because I think it is very powerful, and I knew it would probably hit home to some people. So I did expect it to be very engaging and interactive, and you know, you just never know, but I kind of figured that would happen.
Yeah, and also those are the kind of presenters that Emma and I are. We love to talk. Don't get us wrong. However,
yes.
we don't like to just talk at individuals. We want everyone to be engaged, and we wanted to create that atmosphere where it was a safe place where individuals felt safe. They felt comfortable enough to share their stories. So I really wasn't surprised that so many people shared their stories, because I think what happens is they kind of came off of our energy and
Absolutely.
Seeing that we were open to sharing our story,
Absolutely.
Even though we're providing facts, but we also, you know, we're tying it into our lives as well. And so I think with us doing that and being transparent enough, that was open invitations for everyone else to be like, hey, I went through something similar to that. Let me share my story as well.
Hmm. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. I concur. Mm-hmm.
So let's kind of take a back step here a little bit and explain for those who don't know what generational poverty is.
So the actual definition of generational poverty is the type of poverty involves the birth of two generations into poverty. And so basically, it also depends on how you define poverty as well, because one of the things that we go over in a workshop is we go over several definitions of what poverty is.
Absolutely.
And it all just depends on your take of poverty. But we try to look at, like, the resources. So it's not even just about the monetary value, not having that. It's more so about those lacking those resources as well. Mm-hmm. So that's when we look at generational poverty. It's just, like, lacking of resources from one generation to the next generation. To the next generation.
And the cycle just continues on and on. And so when we see that in our communities, there's always, to me, there's a judgment of, you know, oh, why can't they get out of that, you know, situation? Mm-hmm. And to me, it's much more complicated than that. And that's what the research says as well.
Right. One of the facts that you presented and just struck me is that it takes 3 to 5 generations to
yes.
break the cycle.
Absolutely.
Yes,
that's
absolutely.
Insane.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's really crazy, because when you sit back and you think about it, it really is a reality for those of us mm-hmm. who are part of generational poverty, and we're trying that we are striving to get out. It's certain habits that we picked up from our parents.
From survival.
Up, yes, mm-hmm. exactly. It's all about means of survival. Mm-hmm. So it's just that it is real that it takes that long to get out of that mindset to break anything that's a habit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And to learn what to do and what not to do. I think that was the biggest challenge for me. You know, just coming from a place of, okay, my family was poor, first generation going to college, what does that look like? Okay, I go to college, but I don't know how to go about filling out the forms. I don't know how to mm-hmm. go about, you know, setting up, getting tutoring or figuring out what resources mm-hmm. to have and when to study, when not, you know, those kind of things. And I see that other people knew those things already. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking, oh my goodness, I'm looking around and I'm like, okay. And I had to learn that way. And I think a lot of people that experience impoverishment of any kind experience those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because I think when I was in the workshop, that was one of the examples that I brought to the group was I didn't know how to fill out the FAFSA mm-hmm, form mm-hmm. and what was needed. Mm-hmm. And so when they said words like EFC, which is expected family contribution, mm-hmm. I didn't know what that meant. I had to kind of figure that out as I went along.
Yes, absolutely.
What are the, we touched on some of them, but, you know, the misconceptions that if people just only pull themselves up by the bootstraps, they can get out. I think Sunny Hostin, who's a co-host on The View, said some people don't have boots mm-hmm. to be able to pull. Pull themselves up. So what are some other misconceptions about people that are in generational poverty?
I think one of the biggest ones is that they don't want to get out. Mm-hmm. And they're not trying to get out. And I think that people don't understand that it's not as easy as you already stated, Troy, that it takes 3 to 5 generations to get out of generational poverty. And some folks, they don't know what resources are available to them. They don't have anyone that's providing them with that knowledge, mm-hmm. what they call it, intergenerational transfer of knowledge. Mm-hmm. And what that is, saying that it's coming from someone else telling you from generational, telling you, okay, this is what to expect, either, you know, in college, out in the world in general. Mm-hmm. But if people do not have that knowledge, they lack it, and they don't know the first place to go to receive that knowledge, then already they're kind of already by the wayside a little bit. Mm-hmm. So it's not as easy as people think that it is to get out of generational poverty.
Right. I completely agree. It's a difficult thing to, I mean, I consider myself somewhat successful in my job, but I swear every year I learn something new about something that I feel like I should have known. And that doesn't even have to do with necessarily education, but it's like just life. I'm like, oh, man, I should have had this with my finances. I should have done this with it. And I think that impoverishment is what where you get stuck, and that cycle continues, because when you don't know, you're embarrassed. Mm-hmm. You're trying to figure out what to do. You don't know who's going to be in your corner. Mm-hmm. And so you continue to do the things that you've done. And the misconception, I think, is that people assume that they're unintelligent, that they don't have any goals or want anything more in life, and that's definitely not the case. Sometimes there's some tremendous obstacles and challenges that are in the way, and I think it's pertinent for us to remember that those challenges are big. Mm-hmm. They're big.
And I think so, going along with that too, Ms. Emma, I think, like, even kind of going back to some of the things that we did in the workshop with looking at the mental model of poverty, that whole thing with relationships, and I think a huge misconception of individuals who are in generational poverty is they automatically feel like no one cares. And that's a huge misconception, because there are people out there that really do care and do want to help. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, it kind of gets fainted because of, tainted because of other individuals who may have looked at you in a different kind of manner, prejudged you already, provided you with some information and delivered it in a way that you couldn't understand or that you just didn't like with certain types of tone. But there are people out there that are willing to help you move forward and try to get out of the generational poverty.
And I can hear some people, hopefully it's not you listening, but there's some people who are listening who are probably thinking, why are you dumbing this down? Why are you dumbing this information down? And you made that point in the presentation, that you're not trying to dumb this information down. You're just trying to meet people where they are and bring them along.
Yes, bridge the gap, you know, level the playing field to some extent. I think with anything, you know, you have a group of people and you see them not achieving what you think they should be achieving, you're like, oh, they can follow this route. But if they don't know the route, or they fear the route because of the unknown, because, you know, maybe they've only seen negative reactions with, you know, other people who've tried that route. So there's a lot of dynamics that need to be addressed with that, and that's why this work is so important.
Obviously, the show Generation Now is a show hosted by millennial me, but we try to target, you know, and talk to about the issues we face. How does this issue affect millennials and Gen Z?
Well, you're a millennial, Shayla.
For me, because I am a millennial like you, Troy, I really think that, like, especially with now with technology into play, social media into play, already, like, individuals who come from generational poverty, some of us, we do not speak in a manner that some of our other counterparts may speak in that did not come from generational poverty. They know more words. They have a bigger vocabulary.
Extensive vocabulary, absolutely.
And so the thing about it is that sometimes, and especially now in the day of texting, the day of social media, that already is just playing into the already misconception that, you know, people from generational poverty don't know anything, or they're not trying to learn anything.
Unintelligent.
Absolutely. And so I feel like with the millennials, I think now with the individuals who are in generational poverty, sometimes you can fall a little bit further down into that hole, because now we may not speak the same way that some of our other counterparts are speaking, because now we're speaking in text lingo. Just going into social media and looking at that as being our outlet versus of maybe picking up a book or something like that and going somewhere else to try to channel that energy. So I think that is one of things that may affect the millennials a little bit more than, you know, some other generations.
Mm-hmm. You know, this is a great point, and I'll piggyback on that a little bit, just thinking about some of the people that I've come across who are millennials, and they struggle with just a more face-to-face. You know, you got to interview. You've got to be able to interact and communicate effectively, and I'd look at these, you know, people that will come in for interviews, because I interview quite a bit, and I said, well, I wonder what they're thinking or what, you know, and then I'm like, okay, they have had no experience doing this, you know, in terms of
Absolutely.
Being face-to-face, and that's part of that challenge with it being, you know, technology. They're only focused on technology, and then the same applies to the whole writing bit. You see them writing papers mm-hmm. if they do get to this point, and they're actually texting and they're writing.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also witnessed it with I remember somebody asking me who was part of the generational poverty. I was trying to help them out, and they were like, "Well, could you help me? You know, fill out this application at Sam's Club. It's online." You know, mm-hmm. and they didn't know the questions that they were being asked, you mm-hmm. know, and so I stood there and kind of helped and, you know, interpret, but all of those things mm-hmm. are part of that.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to a fascinating conversation. This is Generation Now. I'm Troy McDonald. This is WGTD 91.1 FM. I'm here with Emma Hendrith, the Director of Student Support and Tutoring, and Shayla Thompson, Student Support Specialist, both at Gateway Technical College. We'll continue our discussion talking about what makes you proud about the research that you've done. Obviously, you've done, as you noted earlier, several workshops, so you're entrenched in this. What makes you most proud when you have those workshops?
For me, like I said, it has generational poverty hits home for me. A first-generation college student hits home for me. Single parent, teen mom, that hits home for me. What really makes me proud is that someone took the initiative to start doing this research, to know that it is the issue, know that there is something that can be done about it, that know that there are individuals out there that needs to be educated on how to effectively teach students who are in generational poverty, effectively how to talk to students who are in generational poverty. And so to me, that just brightened up my day when I realized that this research was out there, that this training was out there. I had went to even to our college president, because they were saying that if we had so many people applying to do the trainer session on understanding and engaging under resource college students, that they would go to the college presidents to get their recommendation. I scheduled a meeting with Brian Albrecht, our president at Gateway, and share with him my passion behind this, and please, if they come to you, can you please recommend me to go to this trainer session? Because like I said, I just thought it was huge, and I think that it's one of those conversations that's like the elephant in the room. We know that there is an issue, but no one wants to do anything about the issue. No one wants to help out with this issue. No one's trying to understand the students that walk into Gateway Technical College every day into these classrooms. And so when it was presented to us to do this workshop, I was just overjoyed. Like, yes, this is needed. We need to get mm-hmm. this word out. Mm-hmm. However, I think we kind of realized, though, too, that sometimes the people that need to hear this workshop
yes.
are not always present, though.
Yes.
So that's the other piece of it. Mm-hmm. That the ones that came to this workshop, they were open about their stories, but these are the ones that we lived this, right? We
Absolutely.
lived these mm-hmm. experiences that we came across in our research, but mm-hmm. we need to make sure that those other individuals who may not have lived this,
exposed to
yes,
that.
Yes, mm-hmm. but they have the students coming into their classrooms. They need to hear this. They need to hear the
important
information.
Work. Yeah, absolutely.
I think, Emma, one of the examples you brought up was, I believe it was in the workshop, it was you, that said that some students don't know how to do certain things in the classroom.
Absolutely.
And that these teachers expect them to know this kind of information.
Absolutely.
And they don't.
They don't. And so it helps for us to kind of share this work, because we're hoping that, especially after that, the workshop, we're thinking, okay, how do we get this to faculty? How do we get this to people that may be able to impact a group of people? Because really that's what we're talking about, influencing others to understand that it's more than what you see, mm-hmm. you know, and that there's a different way of addressing some of these students mm-hmm. because they come from different challenges that you may not have any idea about, mm-hmm. you know. And I think that's huge in just thinking about faculty, but also to think about administration and mm-hmm. other ways. So I think the training part is essential. It's just how do we, you know, get the buy-in.
Right, absolutely.
So we're talking about getting the staff buy-in on the training aspect part. What are some things that obviously people who are listening might be listening at home. They might be faculty. They might mm-hmm. be just regular people. What are some things that people can do when they come across this issue, or people who are in this issue, or if they're dealing with it themselves? What are some action steps that we can take to fix this issue?
Oh, that's huge. Mm-hmm. I believe that it's several things, mm-hmm. And it comes from, because everybody, I think a lot of people feel like I'm just one person and mm-hmm. I can't do anything. And I think if more of us took the time to say, okay, I am one person that can help this person, we'd have a better outcome, just like this person asked me if I could help him with his application. And as a person who works in higher ed, I ask probing questions to try to figure out if there's some way I can help a person that I might suspect that they are don't have an answer or are afraid to, you know, ask the question, because I want them to understand that they don't always know the question to ask. Mm-hmm. So I'm here to try to help that, because I remember not knowing the question to ask. So for me, it's just that one step at a time. Like, just remember, every one of us isn't the same. We have to look at people differently and where we all come from differently. So if you see an opportunity, take it mm-hmm. To educate someone or educate yourself.
Absolutely.
Because I think that's another piece of it. It has to be that understanding of, okay, what does this mean, and how does this affect me or my classroom or whatever, and how can I help in that way? What does it mean to help? You know, nothing degrading, nothing humiliating, mm-hmm. but definitely something that's empowering and informing is a way to help.
Mm-hmm. And then also for individuals who are in generational poverty. I push this not only because I work in higher ed, because that's what my master's degree is in, but it really is the truth. Studies show, and it's been proven, that education is one of the surest ways out of generational mm-hmm. poverty. And so I encourage, if you are out there listening and you are part of generational poverty, if you do not have education, education is one of the surest ways you can get out. And it's not saying you have to go and get a PhD, a bachelor's degree, a associate's degree. Even if you just had some type of credential behind your name, if it's a certificate. Here at Gateway, we have so many embedded certificates into our programming
goodness, yes.
that you can get out and get a job with the certificates that you receive here from Gateway and go out and make an honest living and
absolutely.
Make a living enough where you can support yourself. If mm-hmm. you have children, support your children. So for me, I just want to speak to individuals who are in generational poverty to say that, hey, you can do it. And the reason why I know you can do it is because I did it. And I know that everyone's story is so different. We all are
absolutely.
Different. However, I'm not ashamed to share that I was a teen mom. I had my son when I was a senior in high school. But what did I do? I went straight to Parkside after I graduated from high school, and I completed my degree in 4 years. Took a little break and went and got my master's degree. And so the thing about mm-hmm. it is that I knew that was the only way that I can be my son's superhero is to mm-hmm. prove to him mm-hmm. that regardless of what situation you have in front of you, it's all about what you do with the cards that you are dealt with.
Absolutely.
And that's why I encourage individuals that you have to go out and get some type of education. I'm not saying you have to come up and get a master's degree, or in Miss Emma Case working on a PhD. However,
reach on, Shayla.
You have to have some type of credential in order to get yourself out of the situation that you're in. So,
and see, that's one of the things. I first of all, that is just absolutely amazing. Kudos to you.
You're
just an inspiration.
Absolutely.
I know that touched so many people who are listening, and me, of course, my goodness. I know that for me, one of the things I mentioned was modeling my future mm-hmm. because my family, my mom is a single mom. My father left. He had PTSD and wasn't mm-hmm. really around. And so she never had the opportunity to finish college, so it was mm-hmm. a struggle. Mm-hmm. I would get off the bus sometimes and see We Energies, mm-hmm. orange stickers, and I'll never forget seeing that mm-hmm. orange neon sticker going, oh,
And we have no
rights.
Absolutely. You know, and knowing this is not going to define me. This experience is temporary, and I'm going to get out of it. And so I became the first person in my family to graduate from college like you. And
Yeah.
And you're so right. I looked at it that way, too, was education is the only way I'm going to be able to take care of myself. You know, Emma, for you, you mentioned in the, and Shayla did too, that you're getting your PhD.
My EDD, so it's my doctorate.
Yeah, doctorate in education. So talk about that process and why that's personal for you, I guess. Why that level of education for you?
It's interesting because I had no idea. I was a relatively good student in high school, and I enjoyed school for the most part. But going to college was kind of like, okay, well, I guess I got to go because what else am I going to do? And so I went away to college and found out that it wasn't as easy as I thought. But I was in survival mode. So I did what anybody who's surviving does. They turn around, they ask people, they figure it out, they whatever. And so then I went on and I said, okay, well, I don't really like what this bachelor's, once I completed the bachelor's, I don't really like what it's limiting me to do, because I didn't understand also about master's and doctorates. So I had no idea that you go for this and, you know, get this kind of job or go, you know. So I was still kind of feeling my way. And with my master's, I looked at teaching as an option. So I was like, okay, well, I think I would like to teach. Oh, you find out you got to get a master's in education then. So then I went and got my master's in education and found out I didn't want to teach the K through 12 kids after my student teaching. thank God I was already in higher ed. and so ended up with a master's in education. And then I had, I have always worked throughout all my degrees. I've always been a working and single mom for the most part. And so with my son, who was disabled at the time, you know, it was compounded because I was always trying to, that was during my master's and then starting my doctorate. And so I had to kind of figure out how to navigate that as well as other, you know, situations. But overall, it's just whatever challenges come up, you have to believe that you can do it. You have to believe in yourself. And if you don't believe in yourself, surround yourself with people that believe in you. And try not keep, this sounds so simplistic, but keep the negativity away from you. Because everything you do is, it's unknown for people like us who hadn't had those experiences, had someone paved the way. So you have to be careful that all those negative thoughts will come in your head on your own. So you don't want anyone around you that's going to reinforce that. So for me, getting to the doctorate level, it was like, okay, my son was disabled. I ended up, it's actually, it's in education, but it's in disability and education, because that was where all my focus was, all my energy was, and still is to that, because I'm most probably passionate about that as well as the whole impoverishment and all of that. So that's where a lot of the work came in for me. So once I found out I could do another level of that, and it's interesting, the master's was most, it was easier to me, and then the doctorate was easiest to me. And the master's because, yes. Well, think about it. In undergrad, you're taking all these different courses that you may or may not like, especially for the first 2 years. Right. Master's is focused on something you're interested in. So all the readings I was doing, I was fascinated by, and I love that. The doctorate is even more curtailed to the, ooh, I really enjoy this. So even while you're working, you're discussing, you're doing, because you're not there yet, Shayla. and you will be. I already know this. You're looking at me like, right. But absolutely. So that's how I ended up with a doctorate, long story. I'm doing my, I finished all my courses, and I'm at the dissertation stage. So.
Wow. Wow, that was incredible. A huge thanks to Dr. Emma Hendrith and Shayla Thompson, both from Gateway Technical College, for sharing their stories and sharing and highlighting such an important issue that I faced, that they faced, and being able to share those stories, I hope illuminated a part of your life and hopefully will encourage you to help others or help yourself. That's always nice, too. This conversation's not over. This conversation is not over. Please go to WGTD.org and search for Generation Now. The full version of this interview will be posted there. And so we just couldn't get everything fit. I mean, this conversation was just too good to fit in 30 minutes. So the full version is on our website, WGTD.org. You'll hear the amazing stories of Dr. Emma and Shayla as they change the course of their lives.